Our final case for this morning is United States against Breschers, 12-1364. Mr. Skaggs.
May it please the Court, my name is Ethan Skaggs. I'm Assistant Federal Public Defender in the Southern District of Illinois. I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Breschers. Our sole issue on our appeal is the restitution ordered by the District Court. The District Court ordered restitution that covered some mental health issues and some lost wages, all stemming from what would have to be psychological injuries. Our position is, with there being no physical injury, that was not an authorized order of restitution.
But let me suggest that looking at the statute, your proposal that that bodily injury doesn't include mental injury doesn't seem to me to really map on the statute. It looks like it's drawing a distinction in B1 between property offenses and B2 between offenses dealing with personal injuries, basically, because B1 says in the case of an offense resulting in damage to or loss or destruction of property of the victim of the offense, blah, 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 lots of things. B2, in the case of an offense resulting in bodily injury to a victim. So why isn't that just a sensible reading of the statute? That's a very common distinction in the law, property damage versus personal injury. And the fact that Congress didn't use quite that vocabulary isn't terribly material. And in fact, this is not a restitutionary award for pain and suffering and distress and so on. It's gas and lost wages. So I don't know that the statutory reading or the application here is quite as far afield as you suggest.
Your Honor, looking at the statute in the whole, looking at the statute in the context of the other sections, you start with Section A, says who gets it, you look at C, and then it refers us to Section B, and we can go through.
Right. I'm looking at B1 and B2 as the two different options under B.
And I think, in this case, Judge, two of those options can apply.
You seem to think that there's some third option that's not covered at all by the statute, and I'm thinking that it would make more sense, given the nature of what Congress was trying to do, to think that B1 and B2 were intended to cover the universe.
Judge, I would see it following, of course, the cases cited in our brief from the other districts, other circuits, that they're saying it's not covered, that it's not, that we don't have any physical injuries on these two victims. We are not challenging the award of restitution to World Acceptance, by the way. I think under B1, they have loss of property. They lost the approximately $1,100 through the robbery. It strictly.
This offense also resulted in these gas expenses and lost wages. Maybe these women are compensable under B1. Why not? It's their property, their money that they're not getting, and it's the consequence of this offense.
Judge, I'd say, looking at the entire statute, the way that's worded, we're talking about the actual property. Did, for example,
their money isn't
Mr. Well, did
only the thousand and some that was stolen counts.
I think if you have to look at, especially if you look at the lost wages going down to B4, that covers those expenses when it talks about aiding in the prosecution, the child care, things you're doing while this case is going on.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wasn't terribly impressed with the B4 argument, but I'm not sure I'm there.
That's why I say, looking in the entirety of Section B, that's why it's our position that these mental health issues are not something that may be awarded under the Section B. And that would go to both the
victim. Why did it mention psychiatric care under B2 capital A? I mean, what sense does it make to think that psychiatric care isn't part of bodily injury? part of instead of only, you know, bodily injury being a predicate to psychiatric care.
Judge, I see the mentioning of the bodily, or excuse me, the psychiatric care under that section, just that knowing that, that Congress is probably thinking, and when you're the victim in these instances, you've been hurt, there may be other things besides what's going on to your physical body. You may have some sort of injury to your mind.
Okay.
Judge, it's my understanding, our research, we didn't find that this issue had been before this circuit before. It looked like probably has been looked at by five different circuits, and only one of them had declined to follow it. The other circuits all declined to, say, address the issue, the other circuits having been essentially following our position that there needed to be some sort of physical injury.
Of course, we're in plain error review, which might make a difference. I think those other circuits were not dealing with a plain error issue.
That's my understanding. None of the other circuits were dealing with a plain error review.
Okay.
So why is this plain error? Assuming the error, why does this call into question the fairness, integrity, and reputation of the proceedings?
Judge, you have a restitution order that has no authority. There, of course, for restitution.
That's
has
just
to
say it's an error. Let's
yes.
concede the error. Why is this fundamentally a question of the integrity of the proceedings? It's just a mistake.
But you have someone being ordered to do something where there's no statutory authority to order them to do that. There's no statutory authority to order the appellant to make that restitution under the Mandatory Restitution Victims Act. From the standpoint of the plain error, if you look at this from the standpoint of affecting the outcome, obviously if this is remanded and it is found that this is error and that the victims are not entitled to the compensation for these mental health issues or the lost wages under this, obviously this does affect the outcome for Mr. Brashears. The appellant does not have the same amount of restitution that's going to be ordered against him.
Right. So that's just to say that mistakes were made, but I am still not hearing an argument that goes to the heart of the integrity, public reputation and fairness of the proceedings. You know, if this argument had been raised, maybe the correction would have been made at the time that it should have been made. That's the reason why the threshold for that aspect of plain error review is supposed to be high. This has to be somehow related fundamentally to a miscarriage of justice, and we just don't have that here. This is in the nature of a civil award that shouldn't have been awarded, right?
Well, Judge, I would point to one of the cases in the brief is Randall, which is a Seventh Circuit case. It is not on point as to this specific issue, but I note in Randall, when it was before the court, they noted that victims were given restitution orders, and it was not a proper award to award those specific victims restitution. I think that's analogous here, that if we have something where we don't have the statutory authority, you know, following what happened in Randall, the case should be remanded. That was plain error in Randall. I think that's appropriate here.
If you would like to save a rebuttal minute or two.
I would. Thank you, Your Honor.
Invited to do that. Ms. Morrison.
Good morning, Your Honors. While the defendant points out cases, other circuits that have equated the need for there to be physical injury for B2 to apply, I would just submit to the court that none of those cases discussed or seem to even be presented with the argument that bodily injury might include mental injury. And I would further submit to the court, as the justice seems to recognize, that certainly the mind of a person is part of their body, and that the women who suffered the violence at the hands of this defendant in this case, it is readily apparent how they might have suffered mental injury. Their employer's insurance carrier found them to be 66% disabled as a result of this offense, and an insurance company made an independent decision that they should be compensated for their lost income. All this victim asked for, TA in this case, is that amount of lost income not covered by her employer, and her gas expenses driving back and forth to receive medical treatment.
Well, you've morphed into the sub 4 argument now as opposed to the sub 2 argument, whether her transportation,
yeah,
et cetera, and that's an entirely separate analysis.
And it appears from the judgment that the amount we're talking about goes directly to Hartford, so it's appears to be monies that were paid to the victims.
Your Honor, the way this happened is the Hartford Insurance Company is the workers' compensation carrier for World Acceptance Corporation.
Oh, wait a minute. I see. The TS is awarded $32.25.
Correct. Right. The $32.25 award for TS was only that lost income that her employer's insurance carrier didn't cover, and only her gas money back and forth to her medical treatment. And she was seeking medical treatment. It was psychiatric care. She was prescribed medications for her mental health. She only asked for $3,225, an amount that seems quite reasonable. And as the justice recognized, even if you were to assume, even if you were to adopt the holdings of those courts that say bodily injury equals physical injury, that seems to me to just then kick us into subsection B1. Going back for a minute, when it describes, it says to C1, when we're talking about what's covered, it's anyone who's a victim of a crime of violence who suffers a physical injury or pecuniary loss. This TA was a victim of a crime of violence and suffered pecuniary loss, her transportation costs and her lost wages. So I don't think the defendant's position that we're somehow limited to this section B2 of the statute has to result. It just simply directs us to another section, B1 or even B4. And, Your Honor, I would like to address your point. You said you weren't impressed with the B4 argument, and I appreciate
it. It just seemed a little stretched, since it seems to me as though, just looking at it, B4 would involve, you know, the necessity to have her go talk to FBI agents or show up in court. You know, you might need babysitters. You might need transportation expenses. You might have to take a few days off of work for those things. And so I thought that the medical expenses and the lost wages really sensibly go beyond the scope of B4.
Well, and I can understand that reading of the statute. My only point there would be, if we're not going to compensate this victim of a violent crime under B2 or B1, that B4 at least is another area we might look at. And I would submit, Your Honor, that this victim needed to be available to testify at trial if needed.
She didn't actually testify, though. Is that correct?
That is correct. There was a plea in this case, Your Honor. Yeah. But that's not known until the moment of the plea. And it's really not known whether she'll be needed to testify even through sentencing. And it's imperative to the government that that victim be able to testify in a meaningful way.
Does the pre-sentence report spell out why those expenses were incurred, the three categories?
Yes, Your Honor, it does.
There was no objection to that?
There was no objection, Your Honor, at all to the restitution. And the PSR in paragraph 117 spells out the amounts, in fact, that the district court ordered. And I want to get back to that B4 for just a minute. Your Honor, in this case, it is, I think, important to note that Judge Reagan did not order restitution for any victim for future expenses. He limited the expenses to the time from the time of the crime to the date of sentencing. And that's why I think B4 is also a possibility in this case. He, you know, keeping that victim able and ready and willing to testify if needed was imperative to the United States.
The record have any detail about the medications she'd been prescribed to?
It does not, Your Honor. And that, to me, just simply goes to some of that was spelled out in her victim witness letter. But because
there was, had there been an objection, you would have known what to introduce to support those figures.
Correct, Your Honor. I mean, it was simply unchallenged.
The $40,000 are out of pockets she incurred?
No, Your Honor. The $40,000 awarded to the Hartford, that is the workers' compensation carrier for the World Acceptance Corporation.
Her employer.
Right. Her employer.
That's
correct.
Right.
The business that was robbed.
That's what
so
I
they
understood.
Were indemnified.
Yes. Correct.
But the order included that amount?
Yes. Well, because the insurance company
is subrogated.
Was ordered to, yeah, the yeah. judge ordered restitution for the insurance company.
Because of its subrogation. Yeah.
Right. That's what I understood. So,
okay.
But there's a separate order that goes to her directly for out-of-pockets, or she incurred no out-of-pockets?
The separate order, the $3,225 in the restitution order, that is an award to TA for her out-of-pocket expenses.
It says TS on the judgment.
I'm sorry, she was married.
Her name changed.
Yes. So TA in the indictment became TS in the judgment, Your Honor.
I thought that $3,000 was lost wages.
It was a combination of her, if I can refer you to, there's a couple places in the PSR. The total amount is reflected in paragraph 117 of the PSR. And the breakdown for lost for gas expenses and lost wages can be found in paragraph 18 of the PSR. She indicated that she spent $225 in gas from October 29th, 2010, that would be just right after the offense, through January 18th, 2012, for driving 900 miles to receive medical treatment. She estimated gasoline at $3.69 per gallon. She did not receive an award for any gasoline or transportation expenses after sentencing. It was only through the date of sentencing. And then the other amount of money she requested was those lost wages not covered by the workers' compensation carrier. And she estimated that at about $3,000. So she was awarded then for lost wages, $3,000, and for transportation, another $225, for a total of $3,225. Right. If there are no further questions, that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Skaggs?
Yes. Your Honor, with respect to going to the B-4 section of the statute, obviously B-4 can't be used in this particular circumstances to support any order of restitution for the Hartford. The Hartford, that award is for their care through the workers' comp claims of the victim. Judge, just wrapping this up, Sarawop, the Tenth Circuit case, made a comment about these situations, and that's that there are certain circumstances where certain aspects of litigation are better served in civil court. There, you can see certain policy reasons where perhaps the reason the statute is written to the way it is with the limiting language about needing bodily injury for you to award any type of the mental health care, the lost expenses, would be that we don't want the district courts in criminal cases diving into purely psychological issues when you have circumstances where psychological type issues affect different people differently. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.